Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark on January 1st, 2016. And welcome to the new year. And most of us are probably sick of hearing Happy New Year because we know what we're facing. But you know what I say, happiness is resistance and it comes from within. So that's the one thing they can't take from us is our determination to live full, loving human experience. Lives, you know what I mean? So welcome to the new year. Today is call-in Friday. Let me give you the phone number. It is 718-717-8296 if anybody wants to call in. I've kind of gotten accustomed to me talking on Fridays because people are a bit timid to call in. Last night, as many of you know, I have been reading books. It's a new thing that I've taken up on my YouTube channel. And I'm reading a book by Dr. John Goffman, Arthur Tamplin, called Poison Power, and we are in Chapter 11. The title of that chapter is, Must We Hold Out for the Cold Corpses?, in which he talks about, this is the only industry where they're saying, well, we don't know if it's right or not. And I wanted to read from you a portion of this book, because this is information people have forgotten, and this is the answers why. Oh, there's Mr. Kevin Finnegan. Hold on just one second. Good morning. This is Lonnie Clark. Good morning. This is Lonnie Clark with Age of Vision Radio Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the new year.
Welcome. Yeah, it's nice to be in 2016.
You know, 15 was kind of a harsh year, but, you know, I think we need to brace ourselves. We're going to have harsh years. You know, when people say, oh, it's coming, no, it's actually here. It's here. John Goffman wrote this book in 1970, and honestly, everything that he says has come true because of what's happened. You know, if the source of research funds is expected to buy silence concerning the hazards of major public concern, we are assuredly in very deep trouble as a society. Welcome to our world, huh? Everybody ignored that sentence.
Yeah, he knew what was going to happen.
Well, he saw it. I was just about to read from this book because this blew me away last night when I was reading it. He says, well, I'll read it when you get off the air, but Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
Yes, how are you, Lonnie?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Kevin? Do you have anything on your mind that you want to talk about? You want to talk about Indian Point, which is definitely affecting you?
Yeah, Indian Point is a very big deal right now because they're actually operating two reactors with no license, and they're on trial for it right now.
So, and they're still doing it. It's not shutting down. They're not shutting it down.
They're trying to. I know the governor's trying to shut it down, but they're operating with no license right now, and I know they're in trial because of it, because
And what you know what I've heard about Indian Point is that it's leaking thorium into the New York City drinking water. Do you know about that?
Yeah, that's been speculated before, but I mean the real fact is that the last time they had an accident, a bunch of control rods fell into the core.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they had a very big accident. I mean,
that was very recently, wasn't it? I read about that very recently.
Yeah, it was last month. They've had about 5 accidents.
Did they not close it down? Right, it's not closed down right now at all. Still,
no, they fired it back up.
You know what? We had to organize people's bodies out in front of their nuclear power plants and say shut down. That's what helped shut down San Onofre. We need bodies in the street. We need people to call. We need pressure to the NRC, to our elected officials, because those are the people that could demand it. And, you know, as much as we hate how the government works, the reason it's not working is because we're not working. That's what I say.
I actually called my senator about that.
Good for you.
I called Steve Israel's office, and he never got back to me.
Of course they're not going to get back to you. The only way they get back to you is if you write them an email. They're mandated then to, or send them a handwritten letter. If you want to really get through to him, it might get through to him. You know, but that's they're in a cocoon. It's obvious they're in a cocoon. Look what's happening to you guys right there. Look what's happening to St. Louis. St. Louis is flooded. Westlake Landfill, did you see the pictures on the page? It's flooded. Coldwater Creek, underwater portions of it. The EPA says, well, we're going to come out and test for radiation. So what? They test for radiation. They don't move people out. One lady was like, wow, my house has the highest radiation in the area. I'm like, I can't believe our government is not moving her out.
Yeah, the government won't do anything because, I mean, the Department of Energy itself has actually poisoned the aquifer that I live on Long Island. They dumped nuclear waste right into the aquifer out here and killed a bunch of people still.
When did they do that?
Okay, there's a laboratory out on Long Island called Brookhaven National Laboratory.
Yes.
And they were running a reactor out here for a few decades, and the contractors didn't really plan it out too well, and the waste started leaking into the aquifer. And there's a documentary, I think, called The Nuclear States of America, and one of the locals out there started documenting the ring of cancers and the deaths that were going on out in Brookhaven and Shirley. And it's still to this day. I actually just met a girl recently who has thyroid cancer out there.
There's tons of people that have died. This is what John Goffman's talking about in this book. I can't believe it. It's so outrageous that this is the only industry where we're not even allowed to talk about it. You notice that it's almost socially unacceptable to talk about the effects of radiation? Like, really, people just don't want to believe it. They don't want to hear it. It's so...
Especially very clear. Everyone's getting cancer and passing away.
Well, you know why? Because there's a sentence in here that just blew me away last night, and I went, he was talking about the conflict of interest. Oh, this. What about other forms of cancer that were known to follow radiation experimental animals? The experts steadfastly refused to consider any of these, having not seen any human corpses. They refuse to admit they exist, and they would not lower the population exposure standards accordingly. You know what happened, Kevin, when I was reading this? Because in a portion of this, he goes on to explain how we came up with the radiation levels. You know how we always say 32,000 extra cancers, 225,000 extra birth defects a year, right? So but he explains how that math works in here. But what now I recognize what's happened. Since the Fukushima thing happened, the standards have been raised back up. See, in the 50s, the standards were at 100 rads. And then people got super sick. People started, so the Congress came in and this is exactly what he said. Atomic technology was pushed hard by two governmental agencies, AEC and the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy. That's the military. Accredited biological experts were assembled in one committee and another to consider radiation and radioactivity to decide how much exposure could be exposed to. The burden of obviously the pressure was on. These experts must burden the atomic technology with the fewest possible restrictions. This is his outrage. He said, did these experts tell the technologists the burden of proof of safety is upon you? did they say, we refuse to allow you to expose anyone to man-made radiation because we don't know how much physical damage it will cause? No, they did not. Instead, they pulled some numbers out of a hat and declared the numbers represent acceptable standards of radiation tolerances, and the atomic technology proceeded under the blanket of respectability of these, quote, allowable, unquote, doses. Since these acceptable doses had to be lowered to 100 fold, see, we just raised them back up, in the past two decades, there was certainly something wrong with the original standards. So do you see what's happened here? They lowered them, and now they're going to raise them back up because we can't even talk about radiation. Now, if we say that dumping that radiation in that water, you talk to any doctor in your area, Kevin, about the radiation in that dam. You know what they'll tell you? Don't worry about it. The radiation, I guarantee the AMA is telling me those are perfectly acceptable limits. That's what they say.
Yeah, people will tell you that there's radiation everywhere and that it's natural.
In your food. This is what I'm saying. This is, when I say we have challenges coming up, because we're coming into year 5 of Fukushima. You know what happens in year 5? You start seeing a lot more sick children and young people. It's not the old people that get sick. It's the young people. And that's why it's catastrophic to the society. People take notice because it's the younger people. No offense, Kevin. I don't mean to frighten you. I know you're young. But this is exactly, though, why we need to fortify ourselves, you know, make sure we ingest as few chemicals and toxins as possible.
Yeah.
That's really the issue. Be happy, you know, have a good, healthy attitude. Figure out what your mission is, because guess what? I guess I'm the eternal optimist. I believe that there's solutions that we can find that will actually turn this around. The only reason it's gotten so severe is it's a planned attack. Henry Kissinger said we need to eliminate 60% of the world's population. They said, great, let's make a bunch of money on it in the meantime. I bet you 2-1. I don't doubt that they have solutions. Honestly, I think that they know they're going to kill a good portion of the animal. Or maybe, as John Goffman said, they are just so arrogant. They're hoping that, this is what he said. Oh my gosh, he was hilarious. He said, you know, they're just hoping that it works. They're just crossing their fingers and saying, maybe this will work. Like, really, this is what he said. Well, those who probably, he said, the technologists were presented with a set of numbers for human exposure that presumably wouldn't make the promoters too unhappy. Well, those who set them probably prayed the disaster to the human species wouldn't be too severe. That's what's happening right now. It's these people that are running the NRC, they're counting their chickens and hoping that they die before they see the death that they've caused. Seriously, ignoring Fukushima is just such an outrage. We're going on year 5. So for me, this is what 2016 represents, year 5 of Fukushima, to be honest. Not to be too grave with you, but I mean, really, it's really the one event on the planet that we must, I don't know, I think, and it ties into all the, I mean, have you looked east of the Mississippi, how many nuclear reactor stations there are? 51.
What is going on down there with all the flooding? Is there a lot of power plants that are getting shut down?
I should hope so. I should think that they're all shut down. The worst part is St. Louis. They don't even need the nuclear power plants are all safe. It's St. Louis that is spreading the contamination right down the Mississippi. It is completely disgusting, honestly. That Westlake Landfill, Coldwater Creek have leaking nuclear radiation. I mean, the landfill has been grotesquely mismanaged. If you look at it, all they've done is throw dirt on top of it, Kevin. It's open sewage with the radiation leaking. People are getting sick. Why do you think this radio show adopted St. Louis? Could you imagine? They live a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles away from the nuclear dump site that is leaking polonium, plutonium, cesium, I mean, the whole gamut of all of them, and these poor people are getting the weirdest, oddest cancers. And the government's like, well, we need to take numbers. That's what John Goffman says in this book. We don't need to take numbers. We know it causes harm. These scientists know it causes harm, but they're working in some way for the nuclear industry. They can't cut their noses off. That's the issue here. The way the thing is set up, there's no autonomy. You know, and at what point do they cross their fingers and hope their lives aren't that bad? To the detriment of every life, every mammal on this. So far, the mammals seem to be taking the biggest hit from radiation. Because there's, you know, there's micro creatures at the bottom of the earth, underneath the ocean, where they found, like, these little creatures, they thrive on the radiation. That's happened. They discovered that after World War II. So not everything hates the radiation. We might have a Godzilla walking out of the ocean one day, for real, man.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, no. So welcome to the new year, Kevin. Thank you for calling the show.
Yeah, it's awesome to be on here. Thank you for having me.
Well, look, do you want to say anything else? I'd really like you to talk about New York. Nobody's, you know, begging to call in. If you want to keep talking about New York, I would love to know more about it, if you know more about it. And what would you think we ought to do about to help the citizens of New York bring, I mean, most citizens probably don't even know about this, do you think?
I'm not too sure, but here's what I was really trying to say is that, yeah, there's definitely a lot of cancers coming up just straight out of the Brookhaven lab area. So it's like definitely just a straight link to causation of cancer, because the lab has literally killed a lot of people around here locally. And it's actually incredible that no one is actually standing up to really close down the Indian Point, because they have no license. They're not insured. There's no evacuation plan for that plant. It is putting millions of people in danger every day.
Well, I think I saw an closed down Indian Point Facebook page. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've contacted the group too, the Hudson River people. I said I blatantly messaged them saying, "How can I help you close this down?" And I never got a response from them.
Well, you know what a large part of that is they have their own agenda. You have to go to them. You have to be in their meetings. They're not going. I mean, they're too small. They're usually not that big. Like, yeah. I was kind of surprised to find out that Beyond Nuclear was basically just a small set of three people, but not, you know, or not a huge organization. I thought it was quite big, but it's not. And they're all people that have been at it for 40 years and are used to being browbeaten, in my opinion. like honestly, I had Kay Dry on, and it was a delightful interview. But I was a little bit aghast when she said, "Well, we don't want St. Louis to turn into an outright catastrophe." I'm like, "Kay, for the 1,000 families that are living there, it is an outright catastrophe. What are you talking about?"
There it is.
I mean, and now we have the flooding, and guess what? It is an outright catastrophe, because there was, and this is the hard part. They have that right next to the landfill where the nuclear radiation is leaking. They have that 300 feet down. There's it's a composting fire. It's not like fire. It's molten chemicals that's over 300 degrees or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's spreading. And so they're going to try to build a wall to stop it. That's what they're saying. But we just got flooded. So how are they going to do that in the mud? So let's just see.
There's a few countries trying to build walls right now, and it's not going to work out for them.
You know what is really sad, Kevin, is because I follow Fukushima, I put this comment on their page, and then I deleted it. I'm like, well, they tried a wall in Fukushima. That didn't work either, you know. But I don't know. I hope that this is my goals for the year. And they're not just pipe dreams. They're things that I want to accomplish, is bring more awareness to our elected officials who have the authority, and, you know, encourage them to have some courage and say that to them straight out, because they are being coerced and silenced, because we live in a city is literally, if a congressman or a representative comes out against nuclear, they will be politically sabotaged, because their opponents can buy any kinds of ads they want, spend any kind of money at them, and the nuclear industry is unforgiving. They're killing 9-year-old children. You know, these kids that are dying around right around the Westlake landfill, 8, 9 years old, 14 years old, 12 years old. Kids, I mean. And the girls, the teenagers, a lot of the teenagers are getting bloody noses and they're vomiting. And they're living. But you know what that means? 10 years from now, they're probably going to get cancer. That's the hard reality. We know that. It's almost like knowing you have to really super decide that you're going to change your health. You probably can withstand it, but you have to be very dedicated to your health after that.
Yeah, you can't really fool around after you get that sick, especially if you expose yourself to those things.
Well, they can't expose themselves. These are 14-year-old children, 10-year-old children. Their parents are living there, and their parents can't move because they can't afford to move. I mean, like you, wouldn't you love to move right now today? But imagine if you were getting if you had two kids and a house and, you know, financial obligations and a job there, and you found out, I mean, I don't know. Myself, personally, I would plan on moving. I would, like, immediately figure a way out, immediately. And I wouldn't care about the house. I wouldn't take any of the furniture. I would just take my kids and our clothes and be gone and leave all that. I wouldn't take any of it except my mementos because, honestly, they're living in a toxic environment and they have been lied to for 70 years. And our government ought to move them immediately. I mean, I have to say, I'm nonplussed. That's my goal for this year, is to get our elected officials to understand their responsibility to the citizens of St. Louis and to anybody living near a nuclear power plant. It's their decision. It's been their oversight. The NRC is a government agency, and if the NRC has been grotesquely negligent in its job and has caused death to humans, then I say that our government has a responsibility to remediate the situation. They can do it. We have the citizens. We have the power.
So how are you going to get the elected officials on your side, Lonnie?
Well, we need persistence. We need millions and millions of people. We need them to understand that there's more people voting for them than there are dollars voting against them. Because that's how it works. How do you think Bernie Sanders is running his campaign? He's not running ads. He's not being negative. He's not playing that game because he knows she can go ahead. They can create all the polls they want. In fact, they're going to have to steal the election from him, which I think he naively thinks they won't do. I think they have no intention of letting him win. And if he does win, let's say he ultimately becomes president, I venture to say he would be knocked off within a year if he didn't comply. If he stood up to them every president goes into the White House and does an about face, no matter what, unless he's one of them like Bush. But anyone who had any big ideas about our country and helping us as citizens and standing up to these people, they all did an about face and pretty much bent over and complied quite well, just did it, whatever they said. Clicked their heels and said, Sig Heil. So the threats must be pretty serious. And I think if you stand up to them, and I think that's what it's going to take for people to really get who's doing this to us. Because it really, honestly, it's out of control to the point where we have people dying of radiation poisoning, but yet we have elected officials writing legislation and submitting them on behalf of the nuclear industry to allow the nuclear waste to be put into our silverware and our dishware and our pots and pans. And the NRC is now considering whether Hormesis ought to be the new role model, because since Fukushima, we raised the level back up to the 100-fold that we had decreased it. And guess what? Nobody's really gotten sick. It's not that bad. So they're going to decide this year by 2015 before Fukushima year 5 begins. Do you get what I'm saying? And then they're going to see the corpses, and maybe in 5 years they'll change it back up. But as soon as they let no problem, we don't have to worry about it. You know how much money the nuclear industry rakes in?
Yeah, I do.
Honestly, the disregard for life on our planet is an offense to all life. It is. When we talk about, I mean, the Christians will call it Satan, the evil one, or whatever, and I just think, you know what, it is a betrayal of the human spirit. And I believe that people can get turned around. Some people can't. I mean, some people are just so mentally ill, they're just like, they'll never see the light of day. But maybe that's not true either. I don't know. I don't want to be the one to judge whether they could, like, turn around. But, I think we have a new phase now where we need to get people actively engaged. The only thing that's going to really put people on is the pressure of the masses. We have billions of people who are sitting on their asses. No offense.
Didn't mean to cuss.
Not even that they're sitting on their asses. They don't care. They don't even care.
They
about
do
the,
care. This is the thing. They care about their lives, their comfortable lives. They love their children. They want their families. They feel like as if they comply with whatever it is and they don't say anything, that of course the government, that we must be exaggerating, that this book, Poison Power, must have something in it that's been disproved. After all, it was written in 1970. Do you hear what I'm saying? The logic, people don't know. They have not really investigated the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Atomic Energy Commission, the International Atomic Energy Agency. They don't know that the IAEA prevented the World Health Organization from going into Chernobyl for 5 years. And then as soon as they did, they only allowed the doctors to study children and three types of cancers only. So that now all the reports say, oh, it only causes cancer after 5 years and only three types of cancer and only in children. Like, seriously, that's what their reports say. It's an outrage. And the doctors who have worked for the World Health Organization have quit and have been protesting for years at the crime against humanity that their stance has taken. And people don't know about it. They have so much power, people don't know. And honestly, if I hadn't been in college and had to pick an idea for a science class, I might not have known either. You know what I mean? That was my question. Like, why don't people know? Like, well, how come? How did this happen that people, that we just don't hear about it? And it was an intentional thing. I will tell you what, it is not an accident. Just like this radio show, when I called my elected officials using this Skype venue from UCY.TV radio, I called the elected officials about St. Louis before the floods. The very next day, Skype was removed from my computer when I opened up my computer. Really? I mean, the thing is, if they want to waste money spying on people who care about humanity, is that really the agenda? No. Like, I don't think so. I think their agenda is they just want all the power and all the control and all the money, which they already have. They don't need to kill people. People will die anyways. We have a life expectancy of 100 years. You know what I mean? We don't have a world population problem. People will be dying off. We have enough pollution. Our mortality rate is going to decrease dramatically. And it's not just from nuclear radiation either, as John Goffman says in this book, but nuclear power plants are like probably among the worst. And as Dane Wigginton says, you know what? This was interesting. The chemtrail program started about the same time the nuclear industry did.
Yeah, I'm not too well versed in their industry. Are they spraying aluminum on us?
That's what he says. I listen to his show because he brings certified research to the table. He reads these articles that are certified research.
Yeah.
And so that's what we need to listen to, not some Fox News editor or MSNBC news editor deciding they're going to cherry pick information for us. We need to read the reports ourselves. That's what 2016 is about, getting people curious enough to say, hey, wait, what about that? Let's look into this and make your phone calls. And, you know, the government agencies like the NRC, they respond to public pressure. I'm telling you what, they really do. Like the, look at what Donna Gilmore did in San Onofre with the Coastal Commission. They were about to just rubber stamp whatever the NRC wanted until she brought them new information. And they're holding out. They're actually doing great. You know what I mean? Because of public pressure. I mean, they've done a lot of things. Like, they have banned SeaWorld from reproducing whales. You know, it's a Coastal Commission issue. And so they've banned them. Now, SeaWorld's suing them, but it's because of public pressure. So these small government agencies and our mayors and things like that, they do respond. Very few people get involved. Like, your little township or where, however it's set up where you're at. I mean, that's what my dedication is this year. I used to, when I moved to Eugene, I became very actively engaged at a small political level. Like, to get involved, I'd never lived in a small town, so I thought, wow, I'll just go to the city council meetings to see how it works, and the county commission meetings. And it's pretty interesting to get to see who the players are and how they interact. And it's, you know, it's its own little political system, but it's what happens, and this is why when you're living in a little place, you're like, why did they build the road like this? Well, that's how they make those decisions there. You know what I mean? Someone along the line approves it. So I think it's up to us. That's my thing. I mean, what's your plans for the year? What are your goals for yourself in the next year in terms of, I don't know, whatever you want to have? Like,
My goals for the new year, I mean, every week I write down goals. One of my goals is definitely to shut down Indian Point. It's pretty much goal number one. Goal number two is just to move out of my house, just to get out of here and move away from Long Island.
Yeah, that's a good one. But, I mean, you know what? What are you doing to close down Indian Point? Have you placed
up? I've contacted my officials. What have I done? I don't know.
Reach out and try to build like a little group of people in your area. Although that kind of goes nowhere. I attempted to do that here with a few people that might want to get together. Although Rick Gold here, and I hope to interview him. He's a local activist. He runs Eugene Peace Works. And old-time hippie, and he's got his own, he's starting his own little radio show or something somewhere here in town. But I should interview him because he's like, remember in the videos, he was the guy that stood out in the rain, him and his little gang of people, they stood out in the rain with me and Fasten in front of the Senate, the Capitol building in Salem. I mean, I think that protesting is effective. The reason it's not effective is nobody shows up. When you have 5 people protesting, that's not a big protest. You get 100 people, that's impressive. But you get 1,000 people or 5,000 or 10,000 people. I mean, you get people who say, no, we're not doing it. The elected officials will go, we're going to make them really mad. And then we won't be elected next term. So maybe we ought to figure out a different way to do this. I mean, I'm telling you, it goes deeper than money. But up to this point, Americans have been convinced quite effectively by the propaganda machine that our voices don't matter, our votes don't matter, that it's all the same, that no matter who, it's all going to be the same. And the reason is because we do kind of have a fascist state at the very tippy top, but at the local level. And I think even if we, I don't know, I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to stop the industrial military complex. I think they'll stop themselves. And in the meantime, harm a lot of people. That's their MO. What do you think on that one?
The military, I don't know. I think the military is kind of going to have control. I don't know. We've lost every war we've started for the past few decades, so that pretty much sums it up.
Well, it's not that. Well, I think that that paradigm is incorrect because, you know what, they have actually won the wars. They've gotten the oil, most of the oil. They've gotten control of what they wanted. The people who started the war got what they wanted. They're multi-billionaires. They have a perpetual war machine. And they can supply. Check this out. Isn't this just amazing that our government can say, oops, we accidentally supplied our enemies and we're really sorry, but please keep giving us more money and nobody gets fired. You know, oh, we can't find trillions of dollars, but keep funding us. And no, we're not going to tell you where the money's spent, and but keep funding us. Like, really? To keep us safe, because the threats are, you know, this is the sad part. When they say we need it to keep us safe because if we don't keep funding the military, they're going to bring people here to blow us up and cause us harm. And, you know, we're going to have a lot more mass shootings. And that's where, you know what I mean? And it's going to be because they started it. They did it. We're, you know, we're in this state of having to be protected. It's a sad place for where America has led itself. And I really believe that it started down this road of nuclear technology and allowing these monsters to infiltrate our government. It's outrageous. That's what I think. So there. Welcome to 2016, Kevin.
Yes.
Thank you, UCY Radio listeners. I'd be curious to see what the chat room. Do you go into the chat room at UCY Radio?
No, I had to mute the screen, so I haven't even been looking at it.
Oh, okay. Well, if you go to www.ucy.tv /chat, there's a chat room, and they can listen to the show. And I've been told that I should go in there while I'm on the radio, but I just can't. I can't do the two things at once. I attempted it one time, and my brain got all scrambled, so I didn't even pursue it for like 10 minutes. I just couldn't. I couldn't think about it.
Well, just I'm looking at the chat right now, but I don't see anything too interesting.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really read it. Yeah, whatever.
Well, look, I hope that, then why don't you do this for me, Kevin? Would you mind coming on and being on interviewed on my radio show about Indian Point? Would you do some research and find out to bring some information about what the current status of it is, what the EPA and the NRC says about it, and what organizations might be in your area and phone numbers, if that's a possibility, and your elected officials? Because that would be really awesome, but I mean soon, like before the end of this month. I'll call you after the show, and then we can figure something out so that I don't want to press you on the spot. But this is kind of an urgent issue, and I think if we give people the information and get the information out there, and you can come on and interview regularly and update, and we can talk about it, because it is an outrage that it is not closed down immediately. Now, does Indian Point provide any actual energy to New York City? What's the real number?
Here's the number. They provide 1/3 of the energy to Westchester and New York City. So it's like 1/3 of the energy to like New York City and Westchester County doesn't make anything full. It doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean?
It doesn't make any sense the way they put it. It provides 1/3 of the energy to Westchester County and New York City. So 1/3 of the energy, I guess, to New York City.
That's what they say. But have you looked into what is really used?
I guess the other 2/3 come from, I think it's natural gas, honestly.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, this is the thing to look at when you look at those kinds of statistics. When they say it's 1/3, go to the actual, because it makes up a consortium of utility companies, and on their annual reports, they always say what percentage of which they used. And double check those numbers, because that 1/3 seems super high. It sounds like a big fat lie.
That's their number. That's why.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, because I know that happened up here at the Columbia Generating Station. They were saying 10% to 15%. When you look into it, it's 3% to 4%. One area, it gets 10%. One area out of a consortium of 17 utility companies or 76 utility companies. It's just outrageous the way they manipulate the numbers and choose and speculate and pick and choose. And it's really just complete disregard for human health. This is a public health issue. I mean, it's...
I was going to say, it doesn't make any sense how they've had so many accidents. They've been shut down. We haven't had any power outages in New York City, but we're in the most populated electricity-filled areas, and you haven't had the reactors online. None of the power's been out. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the whole thing is about them leeching money from the state of New York and the United States government. That's the whole thing. That's what they're doing. It's such an outrage. So, look, I would really like to have you back on the air about this. That would be really great, because that would, if that's your number, one of your number one goals, and I say, let's do whatever we can to make that possible. Come on regularly, like every 2 or 3 weeks, and let's get a movement going in New York, and we'll ask people who listen to the, because there's people, like, there's, we connect with people all over, and this show actually emanates out of New York. You know, a lot of the heart of it is in New York, New York State, but, I mean, there has to be people around you who are like-minded and can join forces, so... I would say this to anybody who's listening, who knows of anybody who wants to get actively engaged in shutting down Indian Point. I don't know. Send me an email at nutsforart@gmail, nutsforart@gmail. And or find me on Facebook, Lonnie Clark, and you can private message me. But, you know, it'd be great if we could connect and get, I mean, really all you need is a handful of people to really organize and get people out and help them. You know, I think what we really need is a good, effective door-to-door campaign where we go door-to-door and try to educate people, have flyers and pamphlets that we can hand out and say, look, this is actually the threat to you in your neighborhood from this, and this is what they're saying, and this is the reality. Because the numbers, that's what Donna Gilmore did. She gathered numbers from their websites, and in fact, go to her page because she has access to other nuclear reactors, SanOnofreSafety.org. Her website is fabulous, and you can find links to places on how to find this information. She's been quite helpful in building a website that is handy for other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea with a door-to-door campaign.
Yeah, because people don't know, and they're really afraid, and it's actually become very taboo to talk about radiation. I mean, it's funny. Here, you know, we activists are like, can you believe in Japan they have this secrecy law? Well, you know why they didn't pass it in the United States? Because they don't need to, because we have the U.S. media run by the nuclear industry. So they just pretty much eliminate, you know, you get everybody from Fox News to Rachel Maddow saying, oh, those hysterical people who think that Fukushima is going to kill us all and give us radiation is killing the ocean. They're just fringe lunatics. And that's the phrase we, even from the so-called anti-nuclear establishment. I mean, that's the thing, because we speak out frankly, and I'm learning not to cuss because I've recently had some experience with people who said to me straight up, look, you know, it's only because we're friends that they had the ability to tell me. But they said, you know what, if you cuss like that, I'm not going to hear any of your other message. I don't even want to listen to anybody who cusses like that. And I get it. Like, and so I'm making an effort not to, although sometimes you can't help it. And I don't know how they can't, but you know what? There's other ways to express the anger, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm really going to make an effort, because if that's as simple, if our people are that simple-minded that just cussing is going to turn their little ears off, okay, I'll stop cussing. My brain's bigger than that. I can stop cussing. It's just, you know, cussing makes you feel good. I'll tell you that. It really expresses the distrust, the anger, the frustration. There's, you know, I don't know. Am I advocating for cussing on January 1st, 2016? Probably. But I think maybe in an appropriate venue. Like, your video yesterday was really pretty good. I liked it.
I had to take that down. That was obscene. That was obscene, Lonnie. That was just obscene.
Well, you finally expressed yourself. I thought it was cute. I liked it. It wasn't obscene. You were just angry. And you know what? You need to put the message back up, because those people at Indian Point need to wake up. But this is where I'm at. Like, I think it's important for us to give them facts and say, you know what? Like, this is why I love this book. I mean, I am going to reference it a lot. Like, when he talks about it, he talks about how they convince themselves. Listen to what he says here. It's 8:42. We have a minute or so. It says, the forthright statement of ignorance made by the International Commission on Radiological Protection, quote, this is a statement from them, because of the need for guidance of in this regard, the Commission in its 1958 recommendations suggested for a provisional limit of 5 rems per generation for the genetic dose to the whole population from all sources additional to natural background radiation and to medical exposure. Listen to this. The Commission believes that this level provides reasonable latitude for the expansion of atomic energy programs in the foreseeable future. Do you hear that? Reasonable latitude for the expansion of atomic energy programs. It should be emphasized that the limit may not, in fact, represent a proper balance between possible harm and probable benefit. Get that? It should be emphasized that the limit may not, in fact, represent a proper balance between possible harm and probable benefit, because of the uncertainty in assessing the risks and the benefits that would justify the exposure, unquote. That's from the International Commission on Radiological Protection. So imagine, this is what it says. It's very important to note that the International Commission says this level provides reasonable latitude for the expansion of atomic energy programs in the foreseeable future. Is the concern for health or for the technology? The Commission goes on to admit uncertainty in both with respect to risks and benefits. It is almost unbelievable that an official standard-setting recommending body would suggest allowing such exposure in the face of an overt admission of its own ignorance concerning hazards. But this is the record of such bodies over and over again. The public must realize the implications. This is really, it's really grave, and this is where we're at, and this is why it's important for people to get active. And I don't know what that means to people, but For you, I hope that it means that you'll be on my radio show every couple weeks. And we can close Indian Point.
We're going to close Indian Point. We are going to close that shit because they are on trial. I have to have a license to run my car. I have to pay insurance. If I have to do that, these criminals who are running a power plant that can kill everybody need to have a license at least. This is ridiculous.
Do you know why the NRC allows them? Have you looked into that? Do you know what the excuse is why the NRC is allowing them to run and operate without a license?
Why?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Have you looked into that?
I forgot the reason. It was like they're under a federal waiver right now because they're in court going through like they're in court for their relicensing, so they have like a federal waiver to operate without a license.
And so they're on a docket list, and they're just waiting. And in the meantime, this plant is operating without a license, doing whatever it wants. These rods dropped in there, and they're like, oops, sorry, no big deal. Nobody got hurt. Sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every time they have an accident, they say the same thing, though. They say it was on the non-nuclear side of the plant, which makes 0.0 sense. So they talk, and they just keep lying.
Yeah, well, that's what John Gotham was saying in this book, Kevin. That's exactly what he's saying. That's what they're doing. The scientists, their research is paid for their silence. They are paid for their silence. And they're sticking with their story. That's the whole thing. And it's detrimental to human health. It's just what he says in the title of this book. Do we have to wait for the corpses? Must we hold out for the cold corpses? And I guess the answer is yes. I mean, yes. I mean, I guess that's the answer. But, you know, it's like right now in St. Louis, they want to have numbers. We need to accumulate the statistics of how many people have had cancer, how many deaths before they actually say, yes, the radiation is harming you, and we're going to allow you to sell your house. The government will buy your house so you can move away. I think that's backwards. I think the government needs to move these people immediately. One way or the other, because they're living next to Westlake and the other Coldwater Creek. They need to just be moved. I mean, it's, to me, it's obvious. It's obvious. So we need to put our courage feet on, man. We really need to, like, walk in love, decide we're going to, like, take the high road and think about the, you know, like, the solutions, focus on solutions and, you know, stay out of the violence as much as you can, because I'll tell you what, these people want people to get violent. They want the violence. They perpetrate it, actually. They don't care about death. That's part of their plan. That's what I think. So it's time for us to stand up, though. I think it is time for us. Now, I've had people send me emails like, voting doesn't matter. These elected officials aren't going to do jack. Well, you know what? If we had 10 million people calling them up today and saying, Indian Point needs to be closed down, 10 million people, if we jammed the White House and we jammed our elected officials' offices with phone calls, Then they would shake in their boots. I'll tell you what, that's the reality. But we don't even have that. Less than 17% of the people who are eligible to vote in this country vote. Out of that 17%, less than 5% stay actively engaged. So that's a very tiny number of people. This is why the politicians have big money. It's easy for them to ignore. They're like, well, my constituents, I'm doing a good job for my constituents. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Let's bring in the TPP. Let's let the nuclear industry rise. They're telling us it's perfectly safe. They don't even do their own homework. That's the issue. Nobody does their homework. And the only homework that's being done is by the corporations on behalf of them. Our elected officials submit legislation entirely written by the corporations that are intent on harming the populace. I mean, seriously, outrageous. So welcome to 2016, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark on Call In Friday, and Kevin Finnegan out of New York has called in to wish us Happy New Year and say welcome, huh? So, Kevin, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Happy New Year. I hope we can get these goals accomplished.
Well, let's don't hope. Let's make it happen. Let's do it, you know.
We're going to see.
Yeah, and let's just take some action. So I'll call you after the show, and I will set up an interview, and we'll start getting, you can bring information, and maybe we can start organizing phone calling. And maybe, you know, we can do some phone calling and get some elected officials to take this seriously, because it's a serious threat in New York.
Yeah. yes, it is a very serious threat.
But I think if they're thinking that they have to shut down one third of the power, that's why they're doing it. But I think if we actually look at what the real numbers are, I bet you 2 to 1. I mean, and you're going to tell me that we couldn't throw up some solar panels enough to make up the difference? Come on. We don't need...
Yeah, if we had invested like a fraction of the money we put into nuclear into solar, we would have gone off of nuclear and completely onto solar by now.
Uh-huh. I mean, we could have had... They could be buying electricity from the people. You know what I mean? That's exactly... Yeah. That's the way it ought to go. You know what I mean? Like... It ought to be a whole different setup, but the reason it's not is precisely the other way, because now they get to charge us. And then on top of that, we get sick, and we have to buy their health insurance, and we have to pay their hospitals, and we have to take their pharmaceutical drugs. You know, we go under the thumb. We do exactly what we're told. And we, you know, our food supplies. I was recently in Louisiana, Kevin. I was stunned. I mean, when I went into the produce department, I about fell off my... rocker at the price of a head of GMO lettuce was $2.99 and organic lettuce, the scrawniest looking organic head of lettuce was $3.99. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Not very small organic choices, very, very small, all GMO food. I was like, wow, man, none of it. And it was much more expensive than it is here on the West Coast. Almost, and the it was like double. Almost a lot of the food was double. Like, really? And then, you know what I noticed in their store? The booze was cheap. Like, really? This is backwards. You know? It was like super strange. I mean, like, they had big aisles because it was Christmas, right? Of booze in the aisles. I'm walking down the grocery store where they sell the hard alcohol. I guess they do that in Louisiana. And I was like, wow. And then I go into the organic section to buy us some vegetables. I'm like, wow. It was expensive. So something's wrong with this system. You know what I mean? This is why people in Louisiana get sick a lot. And seafood, I think I did a video on that too. Like, I couldn't believe it. There's seafood. No one even talks about Fukushima there or radiation or the pollution from BP or any of that stuff. It's like off, zip your lip. It's almost, they don't recycle. They don't talk about pollution at all. They don't talk about the fish being contaminated. It's outrageous. You know, and shrimp are expensive. A dozen shrimp were like $22.
I would never eat a shrimp.
Well, I did eat a shrimp. You know, my normalcy bias, I was with my friend. We were in Louisiana. We were in this historic place that made this stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll just order it. And honestly, I couldn't eat it. They tasted good. But by the third one, I couldn't eat the fourth one. I was like, I couldn't eat. We boxed it up. I just said, and we gave it to a homeless guy. I was like, I don't mean to be rude, but if you guys want this food, because I don't want it, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we'll take it. They were like, no problem. That whole city is like, no problem with seafood. I mean, I'm dumbfounded.
That's their culture down there, though.
But, you know, it's like the tuna fish, you know, they give tuna fish in cans to the WIC program. The women in WIC program get free tuna fish.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And tuna, by the way, for those of you listening who don't understand what that means, tuna is the one fish they have been testing ever since the beginning of Fukushima started. And it tests 100% of the time positive for cesium-137. And, you know, that's every fish. It's like, remember what I don't know if you heard this on the radio show, Kevin, but I read in John Goffman's book, this is why Ken Buesler and his stupid little tricks of testing the water and telling us it's safe is idiotic. Because a fish is much more toxic to eat than drinking a gallon of the water that's been contaminated. Because a fish has fish needs potassium, and there's very little potassium in seawater, so it expands the potassium 1,000 times. Well, when it's swimming through water with cesium-137 and 134, it thinks it's potassium, so it expands the radiation 1,000 times. So these fish that we're picking out of the ocean, they're expanding the radiation that they're swimming through at various rates because they have different methods of expanding those elements that they need out of the water. And all of these isotopes are kind of similar, like potassium and cesium-137, potassium, there's a whole list of them. And they know this. These nuclear scientists know this. This is really the outrage. That's why they test for the water. They're not testing the fish. Because every tuna fish they tested positive for radiation. And we're coming up to year five. That's what 2016 means to me. Year five of Fukushima, where we're going to start seeing the effects that they cannot deny is going to start hitting it big time this year. And they know it. So I think we're in for a bunch of calamity with nuclear. I'll bet you 2-1 this is the year that Poppy Bush gets his nuclear bomb dropped. I think that that's his, you know, this is my, you know, Bush crime family theory. So, anyways, welcome to the new year, you guys. Welcome to the UCY.TV radio. We have a few minutes left. I do want to thank Jules and the staff at UCY.TV for giving me this opportunity this year. I look forward to 2016 and bringing new information. But I do have to say, between my show and Jules' show and Dane's show, these shows about, we have three shows on this station that are anti-nuclear, that report on anti-nuclear. We have Kevin Blanch, we have my show, and we have the Nuclear Hot Seat. This is the only station I know that really reports on geoengineering and the on a regular basis, and reports on nanotech, and even on the laws for cannabis to bring the whole, you know, all of that stuff legal. So this is a great radio station, and I want to thank Jules for the time that you've given me on this air. So that's what I wanted to say today. What about you, Kev?
That's it. We're just going to close down Indian Point.
Let's close down Indian Point, exactly. And let's get the people of St. Louis moved away from the Westlake landfill without a big hoopla. And we need to really pay attention to every single nuclear reactor in our communities. That's the other point of this. It's not just Indian Point. It's not just St. Louis. This has been the method operandi, I guess, of the nuclear industry. And the chickens are going to come home to roost, and they are coming home. So it's up to us to get active and to protect our people, because they're not going to. That's for sure. So welcome to the new year. January 1st, 2016. What a trip, huh? The year went fast.
Thank you for having me on, Lonnie.
Thank you, Kevin. And we'll talk with you very soon, and we'll get you on my radio show again. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, that was quite sweet, wasn't it, folks? And I really feel that sincerely from my heart about UCY.TV, great radio station. Thank you for the opportunity, and you know what? I think that having this radio station matters, and all these venues matter. Our voices do matter. Love is greater than fear. Happiness is resistance. Those are things that are actually fundamental tenets. I think for those of us that are on the radio, it really does matter that our voices be heard. So, thank you, Jules, for this opportunity. Welcome to the new year, you guys. Let's put our courage feet on, because we definitely need it. It's we've got some action to take this year. Protect our children and save our country.